Good evening and welcome to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board of Directors meeting for Wednesday, December 16th, 2015. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Guerrero.
I'm here.
Vice Chair Schultz.
Here.
Chairman Hill.
Here. Tonight, if you'd indulge me, I'd like to do a flag salute. Would you please stand and join us in the flag salute?
Ready to salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Item number two is public comment for items that are not appearing on the agenda. I would invite anyone up who would like to comment to the board on items that are not on the agenda this evening. For those items that are on the agenda, we'll have an opportunity to comment before the resolution of each of those items, and I'll invite comment before those items are resolved. So we would respectfully request limiting the comment period to 3 minutes, but if anyone would like to address the board at this time, please do. Mr. Holt?
Ron Holt, Arroyo Grande. I guess my thing I want to address it tonight is the agenda itself, and I was just wondering if there's any way you could move the closed session earlier so that we could get to the result, maybe have a be able to hear the results of that without waiting until an hour, half hour, hour, whatever, after the meeting. Thank you.
Debbie Peterson, I live in the city of Grover Beach, and there is something later on the agenda in closed session. I don't know what it is because all it says is a threat of legal action, but we were told that we would be receiving the Knudsen report tonight. So I'm going to take a leap in faith and believe that that's what it is, but since it's not agendized, I'm going to talk about it now. And I would just like to ask the board to consider reporting out tonight and releasing it tonight. It's been such a long tangled road to get there, and I know that there's still a lot of suspicion lurking, and I think that you could help us a great deal by releasing it. If it's just that things need to be redacted, legal counsel can redact. The board doesn't decide whether or not you redact. The redactions are a legal issue that you can be advised on. So hopefully you will redact it, release it tonight, and let us know what you've got. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comment on items not on the agenda? Please, Ms. Welch first, and then...
Oh,
my goodness.
I'm going to agree with Ron Holt. I would like to see the closed action come forward because I do believe it does have to do with the Knudsen report. And I think we've been relatively patient waiting for it, but enough's enough. We'd like to see the report, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. McLaughlin.
Good evening. I don't want to make an ass of you and me, so I'm not going to assume that the closed item is anything to do with the Knudsen report. So I would like to respectfully request that we get that, and we get it in its full glory with the brightest, hottest light shining on it so we may all know what is going on. And when we get to the closed item issue, I will address that then. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Seastrand.
Andrea Seastrand from Grover Beach, and I too would like to definitely encourage you to release the report tonight. It's been a long, long time, and again, as you well know, transparency is the most important issue, and perception goes a long way, and I think you need to release it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Snook.
Brad Snook, co-chair of County Surfrider Chapter. As stated, the community has waited a long time for this report. 5 years ago was the sewage spill, which started kind of a cascading effect for the county. Everything having to do with the Wallace Group, everything having to do with the civil grand jury report, District's response to the grand jury report, conflicts of interest, engineering changes, which illuminated some engineering problems at the plant, that it was not compliant, and which is the function of a wastewater treatment plant, is to be compliant. And the establishment there at the plant, some of the representatives on the board, were not asking the right questions. So, you know, the Knutson report did not have subpoena power. The way you can think of the report, the way it's made, is it's already watered down legally. We don't know what the legal steps are. It's got some fact-finding information in it. It is perhaps a step into a legal solution. It should be released in completion, completely, for the community to see, because that's what we paid for. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comment? Items not on the agenda. Ms. Brown.
I apologize for my nose. thank you. I guess I'm asking the question, will the Knutson report be part of the consent agenda? I have no way of knowing that, because in reading the online agenda, the only reference that was made to anything on closed session was the California State Government Code 54956.9, subdivision 2D. For purposes of this section, litigation shall be considered pending when any of the following circumstances exist. Two, a point has been reached where, in the opinion of the legislative body of the local agency, or the advice of its legal counsel, based on existing facts and circumstances, there is a significant exposure to litigation against the local agency. I have no way of knowing that that is referring to the Knutson report. And my question then becomes, where was the public notification that this was going to be happening tonight? I think the public does have a right to know. I think we need to know ahead of time. Each and every time there is something on a closed session item, you ask for public comment. How can we comment if we don't know that it's going to be that night? I know that you are not obligated to respond, but I would appreciate it if you would in this case. We would like the truth. The truth is always the truth. So please be honest and say what's happening.
Thank you. Is there anything that we can address in addition to what's on the agenda, or is the agenda?
Good evening, Chairman.
I'm sensitive to the desire of the public to be able to comment on things on point, but
the agendized item under closed session anticipated litigation follows the Brown Act. There is no additional information required. The legislature has determined that public entities have to have some degree of confidentiality to give direction to their legal counsel, and this is the process that not only this district but every other public agency in the state follows.
Thank you. Is there any other comment? Ms. Price.
Well, I also would like to say I would like to see the Knutson report in full. I think if somebody's going to be liable for something, if it at least isn't released to the public, then maybe charges should be made or whatever. I mean, I don't understand why we can't see a report that we ask for, we've paid for, and I haven't heard any explanation that would explain away why we're not able to see it now, right now. It's out. We want to see it. Thank you.
Thank you. Personally, I have not seen the report from Mr. Newsom. I don't believe any of my fellow board members have seen it. We have previously made the commitment to release that to the public as soon as possible, and I see no direction to change that position that's been the long-established position of this board. So I don't know if I can say any more about it than that. I have not seen it. I'm sure my colleagues have not seen it, and we're not sure what the status of it is. So is there any other comment on the item?
If you haven't seen it, who's seen it? I mean, we've heard that it's available. Who has seen it?
I understand that there's a draft been prepared.
Okay, so legal counsel hasn't seen it, and you haven't seen it.
I know I have not seen it.
Okay, well, I want to see it when you guys do.
Okay.
And I think, and as Jim said, we've made that commitment, so and nothing that we've done changes that, and we're committed to making sure you get a copy of the report.
Is there any other comment? Items not on the agenda. Ms. Lucy.
Mary Lucy Oceano. I was just curious, since the report has been in for over a week, I was just wondering why it wasn't put on the agenda, knowing that everybody is waiting for the report. So I'd like to know why it wasn't put on the agenda in a time allowed, because there was plenty of time to have it added to the agenda.
Again, I understand that there's a draft, and that is as much as I know. I don't know that we've received any final report. Would anyone else like to comment on items not on the agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll move along. Item 3 is the consent agenda. We have review and approval of the minutes of November 18th and the warrants. I would request that the billing from one of the attorney firms, the interim attorney firm, be reviewed by counsel to make sure that we're dealing with all of the usual and customary charges. If those charges are reasonable, I have no problem with it, but some of those seem to me to be possibly extraneous, and I'd like to have another couple weeks to review those before we approve them. Other than that, I don't have any issues.
And I would abstain from the minutes because I wasn't present at that meeting.
Okay. John, any comments?
No, I don't have any comments. I'm sorry
about that, guys. I don't have any I don't have anything in addition to the concern that you had raised. So I think at this point, if you want to open to the public, I'm good.
Okay. Is there a public comment on the consent agenda items? Ms. McLaughlin.
Good evening. In light of what was just said a little while ago regarding the Knutson report and it being in a draft form, I'm curious why we've paid the final budgeted amount to this entity when I am hearing the work isn't actually done, because it's only in a budget and it's in a draft form. And it would take time to turn it into a real report. So I'm wondering why we paid ahead on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Debbie Peterson, I live in Grover Beach, and I am concerned that yet again we have a huge legal bill.
We did receive a document, and I think folks really appreciate having received it, but it wasn't a document that you could interpret unless you're a lawyer. And so I know many of us have read it several times, so we know something happened. We don't know who authorized it. We don't know what the vote was. We don't know what's happening. For a year, all of us back here have been coming and asking, quit spending money in court. Because if you annualize this $37,000 that went out this month, and it's been that much and more and sometimes a little less, we're at well over $400,000 again for how many years in a row since 2010, 2009 maybe. And we really need to be using those funds towards addressing the redundancy at the plant, keeping our promises to the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and keeping your promises to the people who pay their rates. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on the consent agenda items? Okay, hearing none.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm just, I do agree with Ms. McLaughlin regarding the way this is labeled regarding the past management review, and this says this was, what, final payment. Maybe staff can provide some clarification on that.
Is this the authorization of final payment upon receipt of the contracted
that is correct.
Work product?
That's correct.
Not to be released until the work product is received?
Yeah.
The work product, the draft that's been received is a complete draft. It's being submitted to our council and to our board to look over before we, I'm trying to be careful about how I say this.
Well, I'm just, so maybe let me ask it in a different way. As shown in this warrant, is this the final payment up to the not to exceed amount for the work that Mr. Knudsen has completed?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's the final payment to the not to exceed amount. Staff is comfortable that the work product that we were seeking that we are receiving.
Okay. So then the follow up question that becomes: if there was any necessary revisions, grammatical or whatever, would he be covering that, or would that be an additional expense?
That at that time, that would be an additional expense.
Thank you, John.
I guess I share your concern that the final payment not be transmitted until we've received the final work product. But on receipt, I don't know if we have the, can we authorize payment upon receipt of the final? I don't think we have any.
Yeah, I think that's
What did our contract say? What is the details of that contract, John? Do you know?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at it.
So perhaps we should hold that amount back as well as the, I think you were talking about the interim legal counsel as well.
Yes.
Okay, so then with that, I'm going to make a motion that we, let's do this in two parts since I think Matt said he's abstaining on the minutes, correct?
Second.
Me and this mic just aren't getting along tonight. All right. So I'm going to move that we approve the minutes of the meeting. I believe it was November 4th, correct?
Excuse me. I wanted to interrupt on, if I could, on the Knudsen report. The final payment was actually for $7,000, and then there was another prior payment for $8,000. So the $15,000 represents two actual separate billing events. So the actual final payment was for $7,000. Is that correct? And so,
so you're saying we could pay the first billing, he can enjoy his Christmas, and then
we were told the final billing, which was around $7,000.
So then, this is just a matter of labeling on the warrants. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to move that we approve the minutes of the meeting of November 18th.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I abstain.
Opposed? None opposed, one abstention. So passes 2-0 with one abstain.
Okay, and then I'm going to move that we approve the warrants with the exception, and with that clarification, the exception of, I believe there was an amount identified for the interim legal counsel, with the understanding that our counsel will take a look at that billing and make sure that it is in compliance with the contract that we had in place with them. So that would be the $17,371.25, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So your motion is to treat that one separately?
That is correct.
Did you want to also address the Knudsen billing as well?
Well, I wanted to. So you gave me a clarification. Is there another payment due after this one or not?
Yes. So right now he's paid to the contract. For it to be up to the contract amount, it would be there was an $8,000 payment due in November. And then there was another $7,000, which would have brought us up to the contract amount.
So then we could just, let's say, pay the November amount of the $8,000. So then I will, can we modify the motion to say that we would pay the November payment and withhold the final payment until we have the final product? Is that something legally we can do, counsel?
Yes, I don't see any problem with that approach.
Okay. So the warrants means that we will pull the $17,371.25 and do a little more investigation into that, and then we will authorized payment of, what was that number again, John? 8,000?
I don't have the exact number, but it was roughly 8,000. The final payment is 7,000, so amount we'd be withholding.
So we'll just call it the November 2015 payment, and then you'll specify that amount, correct?
Good.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the warrants with the modifications as outlined for the Knudsen final billing and for the interim council final billing. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice Chair Scholes?
Yes.
And Chairman Hill?
Yes. Moving on, item 4 is the plant superintendent's report. Superintendent Clemens. Yes.
good theme music.
Andrea Seaster in Grover Beach. I just need clarification. Then when will the report be released? When do we expect this? In January? February? March? When do we expect council to look it over and then present it to the public?
I think it might be easier to answer that after closed session because I don't think we know yet.
That's correct.
Yeah, I don't think we know.
Yeah, and we've guessed at it.
Some report. That's all.
We've guessed at it a couple of times and missed the date previously. So I am very sympathetic to.
Stay tuned. But
can I just ask the director Guerrero, check his mic or something? We can't hear anything back here. Thank you.
Can you hear it now? Can you hear me now? All right. You check my data package with Verizon. Okay. Okay. Just raise your hand in the back if you can't hear me. I'm soft-spoken, too, so.
But I think you're good at this point, so thank you for reminding us about that. Anyway, continuing with the plant superintendent's report, Superintendent Clemens.
Good evening, Chair, Board. We'll start with operations. Most of our numbers are fairly good, except for on December 3rd, our lab reported a fecal coliform result of 5,400 MPN per 100 milliliters. MPN, just for the record, stands for most probable number. It's kind of not an exact science in this case. Anyway, this result exceeded our MPDS permit of 2,000 MPM for fecal coliform. Staff notified Katie DeSimone and in writing and by phone as is prescribed by our permit, MPDS permit. This is the district's first violation, fecal violation since July 31st, 2015. Three violations in a 180-day period trigger a mandatory minimum fine. The minimum fine is $3,000. Of course, you can go up more depending on the severity. So this would be the second in a 180-day period. So the sample results for each of the 3 days prior to the exceeding showed values of less than 1.8 MPN, in which case it's basically a non-detect for fecal coliform in the 3 days leading up to the event. Our samples since that event have also been all non-detect. On the day of this reading, our BOD, biochemical oxygen demand, is another measure of bacterial activity, was 24 milligrams per liter, which again was less than what our norm is. The chlorine content in our chlorine contact chamber was at 6 parts per million. We typically run it at 3. It's a little cooler, so we're ending up with basically twice the chlorine in the chlorine contact chamber that we normally have. All those facts basically add up to the fecal coliform reading is more than likely a some type of either collection error or error in the it's more than likely a false reading because if we have twice the chlorine, that means you have twice the killing powder. The whole purpose of the chlorine is to kill the fecal bacteria. And if we had twice that amount in our chlorine contact chamber, it doesn't make sense that we would all of a sudden have that one spike. So all the facts point to more than likely an error. However, we did get the number. It'll be up to the water board to if they want to come to that same conclusion. If not, then they'll treat the number for what it is. We haven't been able to repeat it. Obviously, we haven't been able to get a fecal reading. So there's no way we can do any further analysis because it was a spike. It was a one-time event. And again, there's nothing in our readings or in our lab that even corroborates why we should have had that number. So we're taking ocean samples, and that's the best we can do with that. Our suspended solid results are a little high, but they're about the same as they were at this time last year. It's winter time. Bugs are less active. We have to do some tweaks to our process to make sure we stay under the 40 for the month. But again, the numbers that we have are very, very similar, almost exactly what we had at this time last year as far as suspended solids. As far as maintenance goes, we drained and cleaned the correct chlorine contact chamber, inspected the plant storm drain sumps. In fact, that was another thing. We had just cleaned the chlorine contact chamber, too, before we got that reading. So, again, it's another fact that says we should not have that number. Anyway, we tested storm drain sumps, replaced faulty valve in the reclaimed water station, unclogged the Helen strain at the reclaimed water station, inspected a low elevation manholes in our sewer system, installed a fence around the front gate at the plant. It provides a barrier and a kind of a deterrent for the homeless to wander onto the district's property from that point. We test ran our emergency generator and our emergency pumps, replaced desiccator and electrical panels. Desiccators are basically kind of a powdery substance you put in there to absorb moisture so you don't end up with a bunch of moisture in your electrical panels. We installed and rebuilt our emergency backup pump, at the headworks. Completed installation of a grinder at the centrifuge, and we fabricated a new spray bar for our headworks and auger and our work order. And we're working on one thing. We actually had our scraper on our secondary clarifier collapse due to rust. I say that because our secondary clarifier is part of our our redundancy plan. So we our guys were able to get out into the water and remove that piece of equipment. We have it on order, and we should be able to get this scraper. The part I'm talking about basically collects the solids on the top of the water and sweeps them into a trough so we can pump out, so we don't, those the things that float don't go further into our process. And they performed a lot of, we performed our work orders, all our work orders that came up. In progress, we're still working on the sewer bridge project. We've gotten our biological assessment, so the next step is to wait for Fish and Game to look at that biological assessment and tell us what they're going to allow us to do with regards to moving on to the bridge and scraping the paint and collecting all of it. Working with MKN on a grit removal system for the RFP. We're almost there on that. We're also planning for installation of mechanical bar screen. We're waiting for electrical report on that. At secondary process redundancy project, we are expecting to get a permit update at our next meeting. We did have our initial mandatory meeting for our RFQ. Engineering firms are required to have their SOQ, their submission of qualifications, in to us by, I think it's the first or second week in January. The engineering firms that were there at the mandatory meetings were AECOM, Kennedy Jinks, and Corolla. I believe Cannon was there also, and a geological engineering firm called Yay was also there at the mandatory meeting for our RFQ. So they're the ones we expect to be submitting qualifications to move forward with design in our redundancy project. We also met with a staff and myself and Mike Donnelly met with Arroyo Grande representatives from Arroyo Grande. I believe there were two representatives from Arroyo Grande. There were two folks from WSC who's doing our facility study. And then there was Pablo Ogren from OCSD, and we all met and discussed, as our board has directed, what's the next best step for what began as a satellite recovery, a satellite water recovery plant. Collectively, it was a very positive meeting. I think that everybody there was looking for a solution and the best solution. We talked about a regional solution and trying to see as much as possible if we could work with what PISMO is doing. There was a suggestion that somehow the district may wait to with the redundancy project to see what reclamation could be done, but that's just not doable. I mean, redundancy is required by the state. It's not something that I believe we could wait on to see how reclamation plays out. It was discussed that according to all previous reports, Cannon did a report for the entire county previously, and of course in Corolla's peer review, they studied the possibility of reclamation at the plant. And according to most of the studies so far, reclamation at the SSLOCSD plant would be the most cost-effective reclamation that this South County region can do. It would be less expensive than any other option. Of course, the challenges that would be the Coastal Commission and the regulatory folks. So I think that's we're going to meet in January, and we're going to look further into checking the best options first. Again, I think the satellite plant was a good idea, but we're finding out that there may be better options, and we need to look at the better options first before we spend much more money researching options that aren't as viable. And so another part of the discussion in the meeting was that the since Arroyo Grande was there in Oceano and Grover wasn't able to make it, but that we would somehow maybe work with the NCMA and their technical group to talk to the farmers to see what possibility there may be for agricultural use. So those are the kind of the things we have on the table. Again, it was an initial discussion. We're going to have another discussion here in January, and we hope to report back to this board and to the board of the other member agencies sometime in late February, or late January or early February, as to what we collectively see as the best way to go with that study. So I hope I'm clear. It was a long study, so I just kind of wanted to get the ideas of where we are and what we're doing with that. Staff attended the Arroyo Grande Creek Emergency Response Coordination Training Session given by SLO County Public Utilities Department and the Office of Emergency Service. And basically, it's a flood emergency response plan that the county goes over every year with their employees and with stakeholders in the community and the different agencies involved. For the last 2 years, we've actually gone up to the SLO offices to be part of that, and this year they held it down at Oceano's Community Service District office, and we were there and present. Five cities fires were there. Pretty much every agency in the region, the sheriff department, everyone was there to give questions to see who reports to whom. In the case of evacuation in our area, for the Sand District, and that would be Five Cities Fire. So we plan to talk to them to Five Cities Fire some more and make sure that they have all the current numbers and we have all the current contacts with them in the case of a flood so that we can be in contact and see what we need to do at the plant in those circumstances. And also, we had two operators, Operator Jackman, Operator 3 Jackman, and Operator 2 Arias, attend a four-day electrical troubleshooting workshop. As you may know, our electrician, Jim Woostie, left us earlier this year, so we're trying to develop our staff to be able to handle at least minor electrical issues and thereby saving the district money. I think that's the end of this particular report. If there are any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
Yeah, John, can you just clarify on the fecal coliform violation? You were basically, so we had one back, you said July 31st.
Yes.
And then one on December 3rd. So is that six-month period? If you were talking about three in any 180-day stretch, is the time frame we're looking at from June 30th through December 31st?
It's from the time a violation occurs, and it's actually the fourth. You got three, and then on the fourth one, you get hit. In July, again, with our pipe issue and everything that went on with that, we had several violations with, I think we had three. All right, I have to look back. It was either three or four suspended solids violations, so we knew that we'd hit a mandatory fine on that. And so then the number starts over after the fourth one. And if that fecal was the fourth one, then it wouldn't be included in this count. But if that fecal, there was four and then the fecal happened, then the count starts from the time that violation happened. So it's not a designated 180. It's not like June to December. It's from the point of one violation
and
all the way through for the next 6 months. If you get three more after that first one in that next 6 months, then you hit the fourth one, and then that would be a mandatory minimum fine.
Okay. So basically, you discover we're out of compliance, you notify the proper authorities, and are there any other actions that you would typically take?
Well, in this case, we instructed staff to collect a sample from the beach. We didn't necessarily have to do it for this one, but if we had a few samples of fecals, then we would sample the beach. But it doesn't hurt to do it anyway, and just make sure we're covered on that. But no, other than the notifying the authorities and doing what it takes to prevent the violation from repeating itself, There's nothing else we do, and eventually we'll hear from the water board. I'll probably talk to Katie between now and then, but usually they get around to looking at all that information and putting it together whenever they get to it. Last time it was 4 years, if you remember. I don't know. It could be months before they bring it all up, or it could be another couple of years. But until that, you know, there's nothing else we can do.
Okay, and then the meeting you were talking about on the satellite water resource recovery facilities, was that more of a courtesy meeting? Because I believe the board had given direction that we were going to kind of put that on hold for now, but can you maybe just kind of clarify or give us the circumstances around that meeting?
Yeah, my recollection from the board was that we're going to put it off with regard to our meeting, but the staff was to go forward and research. Again, I remember specifically about talking to agriculture and seeing what the best path forward is if we're not going to continue with satellite, and to determine if WSC should go, or if we should go back to the water board and say who's issuing the grant, if we should go back and say that we'd like to switch the focus of the study from a satellite to maybe the plant itself, or to an off-site reclamation, and because we did submit a grant for this, and we want to make sure that if we change the focus, that we notify the folks that are giving us the grant and present a case to them that shows why we changed our focus on it.
Okay, great, thanks. And then I just want to say thanks for the emergency response coordination. I think the more we coordinate on those sort of things, and I know that one of the conversations we've been having with the Five Cities Fire Authority and even at my council is there a region trying to figure out, can we have a regional drill? Because I think that is something, given our proximity to each other, and it really is functions as one community. So we really need to figure out how we coordinate if there was, in fact, a need for evacuations, or if there was a significant event. So I'm glad to see that you were included and you participated in that. So that's all I have. Thank you, Chair.
I had a few questions. On the I didn't know the chart has August 2015. When slight, it's not a big deal, John. But on the TSS at 40.25, is this a reportable event since we're over our permit number for the month?
No, our permit number is for the month as a total. So if at the end of the month we're under 40, then we're fine.
Yeah, but we're over 40. We're 40.2.
We're over 40 at the time. Again, it's a monthly
average. Oh, I see it. On the 10th.
Yeah, it's an average of the entire month. All right. That would be a violation. If it were, there's a weekly, which would be 60, and, of course, an instantaneous is 90. But the monthly is an average of all the values for the entire month, and we're not through the month yet.
Okay, that makes sense. I get that. Is the plant in distress? I mean, because our numbers seem to be going up.
Staff looked at that. We looked at what our numbers were last year and the year before, and our suspended solid number just seemed to be high this time of year. What we're doing right now is trying to look at, since we know it's a pattern now, to look at this time of year. The water cools. There's some things that happen, though. You know, with the cooler temperatures and the density of the water gets increases, and things that would settle in warm water will not settle nearly as well in colder water. And so what we've done is, one of the things we've set up our polymer at the headworks. If it becomes a real issue, then we'll use chemicals to aid settling during the cold season. We've also increased the amount of water over the trickling filters so that the bugs get more water, and hopefully the cool air, they'll get water instead of the cool air, and they'll remain more active. So right now we're kind of in a mode where we're trying to figure out a way to, now that we recognize this time of year, it's just something. Again, the numbers are almost very similar to what they were last December. So we're just trying to figure out, again, now that we recognize a pattern, a better way to react and prepare and get through it. I don't think the plant's under any particular stress because we're not using an abundance of chlorine.
Okay.
that would be a bigger indicator, which mean that would mean that a lot of stuff is getting passed and we're having to clean it up with chlorine. And in actuality, we actually are using, we're using the same amount of chlorine, but our chlorine concentration in our tank is higher. So we're using the same amount of chlorine, but it's not being consumed, which means there's not a whole lot of, by the time you get there, there's just not a whole lot of waste. And our BLD numbers are still good. So I just think that this is, settling is a byproduct of, it's probably a seasonal issue. Okay. We'll probably do some more study, and I'll be able to report back better on that for you.
Are you, I noticed the flows are down as well. Are you still doing recirculating to try to
make Yeah. And that, you're right, that's a good point. Our flows are down. If you look at our numbers, that means our influent numbers for suspended solids are at 455, which is higher than last year. The lower our flows get, the higher our concentration gets. And then as that happens, then we have to kind of change and adjust our process. And so right now we're just looking at ways. Right now, again, we increased our water over the trickler filter. And there's a couple more things we'll be trying along the way to try to address this.
Thank you, John. My final question was about the regional solutions. You mentioned it in the meeting that you had with the other city leaders. And you said that redundancy, that we should go forward with this project. Redundancy can't wait. And my question is, why not? Because I'm concerned about spending the public's money twice if we end up doing a recycling treatment and redundancy. If there's any overlap, we'll have a second level of redundancy possibly.
Okay, two answers for that.
Sure.
Redundancy really can't wait because it's not just redundancy. We have a piece of equipment that's 30 years old that has a life expectancy of 30 years. It typically doesn't last 30 years. So in essence, we're kind of living on borrowed time with the trickler filter being there alone right now. And so even if we weren't doing redundancy, we'd have to seriously be looking at replacing that thing. And so no matter what, we have to have another... We have to place another form of treatment, secondary treatment in place. So it's not just redundancy. It's the fact that our trickling filter has reached its life, it's a life expectancy already. So we're probably fortunate that it's still running. So that puts the rush on redundancy. And then I've heard the thing about not paying for the same process twice. What happens with our process is we have a trickling filter process. It doesn't clean water as well as, say, the process they have at Pismo, which is activated sludge. So if you're talking building a redundancy, or if you're talking building a reclamation that's a combination of Pismo and our water, well, of course, Pismo's water is pretty clean. And so if you built a reclamation plant for them that could treat their water, and our water is not equal quality, then you would have to build out that reclamation plant even more just to be able to treat our water. Whereas if we place activated sludge at our plant right now, then when you build and that process that we put in place improves the quality of the water to the standard of Pismo, then when you do build a reclamation plant, then all you have to do is build it for the quality of the one source of water, which will be equal. So, in other words, if we improve the quality of our water by putting an aeration tank and a clarifier in there, it just brings us up to the same quality as what they have at Pismo. So if we were to build a regional plant, then you would have to do less building at the regional plant because now our water is a good enough quality where you don't have to have secondary treatment. You can just focus totally on tertiary treatment. Right now, if our water were to go out to a reclamation plant, it would almost take a pre-treatment before you could even get it to a level that you could run it through MBRs or biofilters. So it would not be a redundant or a repeat spending on that. And so
I think that answers my question. I'll have to re-listen to that and chew on that for a while.
Yeah, I know. I said a lot. I'm sure there's a simpler way to say it, but, yeah, what we spend at the plant would not be repeated at a reclamation plant.
Okay. I guess that's the punchline. Yeah. All right. Thanks, John.
You did a really good job of explaining that. So.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to echo Mayor Schultz's comments about the emergency preparedness exercise. So good job there. Is there any public comment on the report? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move along. We have... action.
I see you taking notes there.
I've got some.
Okay, I didn't know if you needed some.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Absolutely.
5A is redundancy project regulatory permitting. Mr. Clemens.
Yes, we are not ready to move forward on that. I'd like to put that off to the next meeting if it suits the board, please.
Legal counsel, do we need a motion to that effect, or are we okay?
No, it's not legally required. You can just go by the district interim district manager's recommendation that the project item's not forward, ready to be presented to the board.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, with that, with the consent of my colleagues, I'll ask that that be tabled until we're ready to bring it forward. 5B, emergency preparedness report.
Okay, staff recommends that the Board of Directors receive a verbal report on storm preparedness from the superintendent. In our last meeting, I believe, we had the board voiced some concerns with some citizens about the preparation at the district for a storm event and what we had done and how we were prepared and why we think we wouldn't repeat a situation like 2010. One of the things I'd like to clarify is that there are three types of sewer systems. There's a sanitary sewer system which collects water or wastewater from homes and businesses and transports it directly to a treatment plant. There's a stormwater sewer system that collects surface water through drainage and conveys it either to a wastewater plant or to stormwater storage basins. And then there's a combined sewer system which collects both the stormwater and the sanitary water from homes and conveys it to a treatment plant. The collection system that we have for our plant is solely a sanitary sewer system, which means that storm events, in a perfect world, should not affect the flow at the plant because stormwater does not run into a sanitary sewer system. Stormwater runs into, so all the storm drains you see and all the storm gutters you see on the streets do not come to the wastewater plant. They go to storm storage basins. So then our sewer system and our plant are not heavily impacted by storms. And so I think that it's important to acknowledge and acknowledge with the concerns of the public and the board that storm events don't really impact our plant that much. What would impact our plant is if our equipment's not working well. And if our sewers are, if our manholes are lifted. I was at another district, and we did have the same storm event over there as we had over here. And we did receive twice as much water because we didn't have locks on our sewer, on our manholes, and there were a lot of people in low areas that just popped the manholes and let the water go down the sanitary sewer system, not recognizing that that's for a different purpose. At our district, what we've done is that the low spots actually have locking manholes where the average person cannot go pop and open and allow stormwater to run into a manhole. So that's one of the measures that was taken. I know that Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach have done a lot with regard to I&I. That would be, I&I is infiltration. It's water that gets into a sanitary sewer system that shouldn't be, and usually that's a result of poor piping and like that. And I think that's been addressed by a lot of our member agencies. It's evidenced by the fact that just recently we had this recent rain event last couple of days. I went in while the water was coming down pretty good. And what I saw on our charts, we have two charts. One chart measures the water coming in the plant. One chart measures the water going out of the plant. And what I saw was the water going out of the plant spiked, and the water coming into the plant kind of stayed mellow during the heaviest part of the storm. And what that tells you is the reason the water going out of the plant spikes is because we have a bunch of open tanks. And so all the water, is everybody lives here, so you remember how heavy the water was going at that time. So that just means we were collecting a lot of water in our tanks. And the water coming in didn't increase very much because our sanitary system, our sewer system, is sealed pretty well. So that was basically that was a good sign to see not a real increase in water coming into the plant during the heaviest part of the storm. It gives a lot of confidence in regard to how much water we're going to take on. But all that being said, so when we have a storm event, ideally we're not going to have a major increase coming into the plant at that time. All we really should have to do is keep the plant running during the storm event, keep our electrical going, and so on and so forth. That in mind, as part of my superintendent's report, we did test our internal sewer system. We tested our emergency pump on load. Since then, we were on rented emergency pumps since the event in July. We just got our regular pump back, and we did test that on load for 2 hours to make sure our emergency backup pump runs. We tested our emergency generator on load to make sure that that's not going to fail us in an event. We had our staff go out and check our particularly low areas in our sewer system to make sure that those manholes were secured and they were locked so that in the event of a storm, no one could come pop them and flow excess water into our system. We're also in the process of purchasing some called smart covers. What smart covers do is they measure the level of water in the line so that you'd have early warning if you're, for instance, you have a 12-inch line and it gets up to 50% capacity full, then we have an indicator that, okay, this line is half full, and so we're headed towards a heavy flow situation. So it gives you early warning of the amount of flow that's headed towards you at the plant. See what else we've done. This is something that I've shared before. All of our pumps in the plant have been replaced since 2010. Every single plant pump in the plant that pumps water, the pumps in our headworks, the pumps that are FFR, and except for our effluent pumps, the pumps that would pump out to the ocean, those are rarely ever used. But we run them on emergency. So we replaced every pump in the system. We made sure that all our manholes are sealed in a low spot so that somebody can't give us extra infiltration. We're purchasing smart covers to give us an early warning of heavy water coming down the line. We have an exercise program for our valve, which was a problem in the past because if you exercise the valves by opening and closing them periodically. If you don't do that when you need to close them or open them and you haven't exercised them, of course, they may not move, and that was one of the problems in the past. So we regularly exercise all our valves to make sure they'll move when we need them to move. And I think that's it. I'm sorry. I didn't have the report as I prepared it, so I had to kind of rewrite it once I got here. And so I hope I haven't forgotten anything, but if the board has any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
Questions? No questions. Actually, a really nice job in pointing out the things that we've done differently since the event occurred in 2010, because I was going to ask you the question. And now that clearly, as my understanding, no formal root cause analysis was ever conducted, but understanding the events that occurred that night, say what are some of the changes and upgrades we've made, and you covered those. So thank you.
Yeah, there was one more key one also. Now that you mentioned that, and one of the things is they had I forgot the terminology. They had an interlock fail, it's a safety device. So if you were to get a lot of water down at in the headworks and those pumps shorted out. It's a disconnect. It disconnects that part of the electrical from the main electrical so you don't damage. And what happened is that it got water in it on that day, And since because it was below surface level, and what was done, and this occurred before I got here, that particular electrical connection box was raised above 4 feet above surface level, so you don't get water going down into it. And a bypass was also created for that. So if that one shorts, then you have another way to connect your electrical power to the headworks. So that was another key innovation since that time.
No, thank you, John.
Thank you very much for the report, John. Is there any comments on that report from the public? Okay. We'll receive and file a report. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Ms. Lucy, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I did. We've spent, a substantial amount of money from our rates to look at past practices. And so one of the past practices I think that hopefully will be identified in this report that's coming in is that we're falling back into verbal reports. And so it's almost impossible to go back and look into the records. What you have to do is you have to find the minutes, and then it's a verbal report, and then you have to go hunt a tape down and review a tape. When if a written report had been attached to the minutes, then we would not have to do that. And so that is one of the past practices that several people spoke about, is not falling into the trap of verbal reports anymore. And so as I listen to your report, which I find to be very, very fascinating, and I thought it would be good to have this up online for others to see what to do in a state of crisis and what is the plant doing, but it's a verbal report. So it's not up online. It's not available to the public. And so I would ask this board to go back and please have these done written and not presented in a verbal form.
Thank you. Any other comment? Being sensitive to that, it might be good to upload that onto the district's website for your report.
Is on our website, what the events that we've changed. I think it's in the question and answer section, but I'll make sure to look in and update that and make sure it's up to date.
Thank you. Moving then to item 5C, rotation of district board meeting location. Mr. Clemens.
Okay, staff recommends that the board approve to commence with a six-month meeting location rotation cycle starting on January 16th. Staff recommends that the meetings be held at Arroyo Grande City Chambers for the first 6 months of 2016 and then move to OCSD Boardroom starting in June of 2016. Staff did contact the three agencies, or made an attempt to contact the three agencies. Arroyo Grande staff informed us that starting this summer sometime that there would be renovations in this building and that these chambers would be probably unavailable for meetings. We heard back from OCSD, from the general manager at OCSD, and he informed us that the chambers over there are always available to us and that we could meet there at any time. So with Grover, there's the existing issue of having to have a staff member available. So I'm not sure how that's going to work itself out all the way. with all those things in mind, staff is just recommending that we continue here because we won't be able to be here the second half of the year. And so if we're going to rotate meetings, we can continue here the first half and then rotate to OCSD for the second half of the calendar year.
That's fine. I would just say that if it needs to be earlier or for however long you need, that's fine. I've been comfortable having the meetings here. I think this is a nice facility, but obviously, if it's not available, it will be available. No problem.
Yeah, my understanding is that in June that the we're going to be doing some ADA compliance issues and installing additional restrooms in the building. So there'll be a fair amount of construction work for a period of time commencing in June. So that is the reason that during that period of construction that this building wouldn't be available, but certainly would be until that time. So
it's fine.
So I guess is there public comment on this item? Ms. Spencer.
Thank you, Chair. Beatrice Spencer, Rio Grande. I just had a suggestion, and that is, would you consider, is it a possibility to move the meetings to another location just for the time period that this building isn't available? Are we expecting this building to be unavailable for 6 months, or could we consider just, Director Guerrero's offer of moving it down there for the time that this building isn't available?
I think all those options are on the table at the pleasure of the board.
And I would absolutely consider if the public wanted it back here at once the construction is finished, it's not a problem at all. I haven't heard any negative feedback from any constituent in Oceana that has a problem with it being here. So,
okay. I'm not totally sure of the construction time frame. I would think probably a couple months would be an adequate allowance, but I've not seen the full time frame for those improvements to the building here. Any other comment on this item? Ms. Brown.
So my understanding is that this would be a temporary thing and that we're really not talking about rotating it on a regular basis from agency to agency. Is that correct?
I think all options are on the table, but I'm comfortable with it being here. I think that the other members are comfortable with it being here. It's
okay. I just wanted to make sure of that, because if that was not the case, I was going to put in my 2 cents to Mayor Scholes to ask that he pursue a site at Grover Beach as well. But if everybody's comfortable here and it's just a temporary thing, then I'll go with that too.
Thank you. Ms. McLaughlin.
Good evening. It's Mrs. McLaughlin. No, that's... I was just curious. I don't know the answer, and you don't have to tell me if you don't know yet either, but what the City of Aurora Grande will be doing when this building is being remodeled, when it's time for City Council meetings, and maybe for continuity as an option. I'm not saying I'm married to this idea, that we could move these meetings to wherever that is so that people always, keep that in mind. Aurora Grande's meetings are here. The Sand District meetings are at that same location, wherever that may be, once the remodel happens here. As an option.
Thank you for the comment. I'm not certain what the city's plan is, actually, whether we might use the Women's Center facility possibly or the Regional Center. I'm not sure what the arrangement will be when it comes to that time.
Patricia Price, Aurora Grande. I was going to say that would work for me very well. Rather self-centered, those buildings are well lit and very easy to find to get to. And Oceano isn't that easy for me. I've missed the turnoff a few times, I'm embarrassed to say. So the more well lit, easy access work for me very well. So I'll just put that in.
Thank you. Any other comment? Hearing none. Mayor Scholes, comments.
Well, I don't have a comment. I'm going to make a motion, and then I'm going to respond to Ms. Brown, just because I enjoy her showing up, and I love that when she participates.
So, well, I will just say this. I'm going to go a little off script. Is when I hear John talk about a conversation he had with city staff, and they said staff would have to be available, when in fact our city council chambers is right next door to the police station. So here again, I'm going to have a conversation with staff. We always have to find a way to say yes rather than say no. So I'm trying to be cool up here and not get into that because I'm a little frosted at that. But that said, I would like to move the staff recommendation. I think what you are trying to do is accommodate the work that's going on in Rio Grande. We had talked about rotating. And so it looks like staff's recommendation is, and I'm going to move that we approve a six-month meeting location rotation cycle starting January 2016 at Rio Grande City Chambers, and then move to OCSD room starting June 2016. And then I guess if you're ahead of schedule, we can entertain that at a future meeting. But I think tonight you're asking for that kind of direction, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that's so that'll be my motion.
I'll second that. I have no other comments.
Okay. The motion has been moved and seconded. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice Chair Scholes?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes.
For clarification, for Grover Beach, the staff did not say no. They did not want
to
admit.
You don't need to go there. They did not say yes, so there's no more discussion on this item. We're done. Let's move on.
Okay, in the interest of... we'll move ahead. Item 5D is election of officers for the coming year.
Okay. Staff is recommending that the Sand District Board of Directors elect a chair, vice chair for the 2016 calendar year. Annually at this time, the board elects an officer for a one-year term. This position is to be filled. The positions to be filled are the chair and vice chair. The Arroyo Grande representative Jim Hill presently holds the position of chair. The position of vice chair is currently held by the representative of Grover Beach, John Scholes, and I hand it back to the board.
I don't think we have any questions. Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none.
Board. So, Mr. Guerrero, are you with us?
I am. I'm sorry. I was just coughing. I got a lingering cold for a month and won't go away.
So we need to elect the officers for 2016.
Two officers, a chairman and a vice chair.
Second.
So, interest in serving? And
well, yeah, I'm interested in serving as chair, but I'm not going to assume anything and be presumptuous. So that's why I'm trying to.
Then I'll make that motion, then, Mr. Scholes, and I would thank Mr. Hill for his service. Thank you.
Thank you. I would second that, and. All in favor?
Aye.
And I would say thank Mayor Hill for serving in the capacity. We've got a lot done under your leadership, and we'll continue that work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So with that, then I will move Matt Guerrero as vice chair.
I'd accept the nomination.
Second. All in favor? I'm sorry. Mr. Chair?
No, you can keep going. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Good, good. So I know it's a little awkward that we have done it at this point in the meeting, so we just assume, Jim, why don't you want to finish out this meeting, then I will take the reins at the next meeting. Let's do that for sake of continuity.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. Miscellaneous items. Miscellaneous oral communication?
No.
None? Miscellaneous written communication?
None.
No oral or written communication. Item 7 is a report from the interim district administrator. Mr. Clemens?
I just want to cover some future agenda items. Looks like in the first meeting in January, we will have a permitting update and report on permitting from Michael Nunley will be here with John Rickenbach, and they will give us a current update. Some of their information was included in this board pack, but there'll be more. Our audit is complete, and we expect to have that on the agenda for the second meeting in January. So we have our 2014-15 audit from Moss Levy on the agenda. We expect to have it on the agenda for the second meeting in January. First meeting in February, we expect to have our annual calendar year report. Every year we have to file a report of our numbers and everything that happens at the plant to the State Water Resources Control Board, and we also submit that report to our board of directors, obviously to our board of directors first. We expect to have our 218 hearing in our second meeting in February. We should be doing the mail-outs within the next couple of weeks. The hearing date looks like it'll be at the second meeting in February, and so we're getting going on that. Okay, I guess that's all. I keep something in the back of my brain saying there's something else, but I guess I'll get that at the next meeting.
And maybe just to put some dates out there for folks that, so the date of the first meeting in January is January 6th, and the second meeting is on January 20th. The first meeting in February will be February 3rd, and the second meeting, which you just referred to, is February 17th, correct?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Any comment on that? Mary?
Well, another prime example of why we need a written report. You gave a lot of dates there and stuff, and particularly under an administrative report, we just have to do it this way in order to do it right in the future. There was another thing that you had mentioned, well, I guess that maybe was lost on your list, was goals. Goal setting for the plant. At some point, we have to sit down and do goals. That's what we do, and that kind of gives us a roadmap and an annual budget and blah, blah, blah. So if you guys would consider doing goals for this institution, that would be greatly appreciated. As the administrator, as you start to go through the redundancy project, would you please keep in mind that the proposed Rickenbach consulting qualifications that is included in the packet has nothing that leads me to believe that there's the experience there. I don't see the experience. I saw a very, very minimal scope of work. I didn't know who it was reviewed by. I didn't know what reviewing instrument was used. Was it an external review, an internal review, and how many people applied for it? And so if I could get some background information on contracts like that, that would really be very helpful. And then as you were speaking, I was able to look that you had budgeted, you had a fund for the trickling system, and I wanted to know if you had a chance to, as you dig into it deeper, do you think you're on your mark as far as the budget cost for it, swapping out that 30-year thing that's just working on borrowed time, as you stated, but I hope that's what I read in the budget was under Section 28 was a collection, a fund for this instrument.
I think if I might clarify some of those issues, the staff indicated that we weren't ready to proceed with the Rickenback consulting item, and so I would expect to see more information when the staff is actually ready to do that.
That's correct.
And I don't believe there's a plan to replace the trickling filter as such that we are looking, that's the purpose of the redundancy project, is to get an activated sludge process effectively that would replace that or operate in parallel with it.
So there isn't a reserve for the trickling system?
No, actually you can't, that's the reason for the redundancy, is that you cannot take the trickling filter down until you have another process in place. That's our only form of secondary treatment, so
correct.
It can't. So I've been here about 2.5 years. I guess it had never occurred to anybody the idea of replacing it, because you couldn't replace it because we didn't have any redundancy for it. So at this point, the idea is to move forward to get a redundant system, and at that point we can consider taking it down and doing whatever maintenance.
So can I ask you for a little bit more clarification then on the borrowed time?
We might. I don't think we want to do a Q&A at this point. We might entertain questions after the meeting.
So, John, maybe you can follow up with Ms. Lucy, provide information, and then give this board a report back on the information that was shared. That way, I think, I just want to clarify, because I think I like the addition of the administrator's report, because it gives us a chance to do some forecasting so we can identify what is potentially on the horizon. So I think that is sound practice to do that, so that we can know that, so the board can and the public can know what is potentially coming forward. But we want to certainly make sure that everyone understands that it is a forecast and things could change as to what's on the agenda or not. But I do believe it is a good practice, especially given that we have finite resources and we need to make sure that we are focused on what needs to get done. So kudos to you adding that to the agenda. Okay, and I want to make sure that all our comments are focused on that only. Okay?
Item 8 is the coming closed session and public comment on the closed session. I would invite any comment on the closed session at this time. Mr. Holt.
Yes, Ron Holt, Roe Grande. We don't, as has pointed out early in the meeting, we don't know what's in this, going on in this closed session, and your district attorney here had said that it, for reasons of confidentiality or whatever else, he felt that he has the option to restrict things like restrict information from the public until later on this. And I'm just a little concerned, because back when you were hiring this new firm as your counsel, myself and several others indicated a strong preference for judgment on the side of openness by our new counsel. And I don't know if, obviously without any knowledge of what's being discussed, I don't know if this is the case, if there is good justification here for, but I do hope that since he's working for you, and that you do make sure that this is not a case of over cautiousness or things like that, that we get answers as quickly and as completely as possible about what's going on. And then a second thing similar related is that sometimes when, I don't know if this is a viable option or not, but when you cannot get into specifics of things that are handled in closed session, would it be possible to at least give the public an understanding of what is going on by maybe doing a rough parallel construction of it, just to give an idea, not an exact thing, but a rough idea of what the reasoning is behind your actions, or what, so we kind of have at least a vague idea of what's going on, because it's getting pretty frustrating, as you well know, what is going on with all the legal affairs that this district is having. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Mr. Brown.
I miss you too. I just wanted to take a minute and say thank you to all of you. This audit was long in coming and a little bit arduous along the way, and we're here now. So I just want to express, regardless of the outcome, my gratitude for whatever comes from it. And I just want to comment on the piggyback on the comments that were just made. I deal with Public Records Act issues every day, and there are legitimate things that need to be redacted. Personal information, things that don't take away from the quality of the report. Those are well-reasoned and well worth doing. I'm just asking that you move with the utmost haste in getting the report out to the public, because I think there has been some frustration with how things are handled in closed session, and people's minds tend to wander and sometimes go to the worst places and the darkest places when that's not really the intention of a closed session. And I think Rio Grande is a classic example that we've had to learn ways to communicate coming out of closed session and giving as much information as we possibly could without actually divulging the specifics of what went on in closed session. So that being said, again, I just would hope that you would get the report out as soon as possible, and I would appreciate it if the report is well-reasoned, that you write Mr. Knutson a letter of thanks.
Thank you very much. Any other comment on the closed session item?
Good evening, April McLaughlin. Based on the comments that were made after I made my not on the agenda public comments, it appears that I'm the ass because it's there, and I'm the only one who didn't know based on this vague wording. So I would really like there to be less vague wording. The fact that it's in closed session and the whatever it's called, the legal jargon that was cited, is potential litigation. I wonder, does that make the report inaccurate because you could sue for slander? That doesn't seem right to me. So I'm wondering if it's so egregious what is said in there to any one particular company or person that maybe we should be suing them instead, and maybe that's the discussion you should have with your attorney. Because I don't feel like we hired someone to get sued. We hired a company to figure out who the heck we need to be suing, because we've lost a lot of money, and that's what this investigation was supposed to figure out, what went wrong. $37,000 worth of attorney fees are on tonight's warrants. Stop it. I don't want attorneys making the decisions that line their pockets by having closed session meetings. If their job is to redact what is required. And that's it. If that opens us up to litigation, we need to be suing them for wrongdoing, or we hired the wrong person. And I don't think that's the case. I hope that's not the case, and I will believe that's not the case until this mystery report shows up. Thank you.
Thank you. I know the board members share the public's frustration with as long as it's taken to get the draft report in our hands. We have been waiting well over a month for that, and we share your frustration with it. At the same time, issues may come up that have only parenthetical relevance to the point of the report that might be problematic issues, and people are potentially concerned to start redacting things without direction to do so, for example. So some consideration of this is appropriate in closed session. Is there any other comment on the item? Okay, hearing none, we will then move to closed session. Again, with respect to the report, I believe my colleagues and I are committed to releasing that in its fullest form as soon as possible. So,
I would join that.
Yeah, we're all in concurrence, and we'll share with you when we have information.
But I think part of this, though, and I'll just say this briefly, is to get this report and to protect the district and the ratepayers from potential litigation if there is something in there that would be slanderous, for example, that we need to know and not be the distributor of that information so that we don't have rates go up for that reason. So I don't know what's in it. So.
Well,